Yeah. Saul's starting to lose it, huh? He's starting to lose it. And that's really what happened, you guys. He was so threatened by David that he tried to have David killed many, many times. And he really started going mad. He really did. Such potential. And yet, because he decided that he needed to run his own life, you kind of even start seeing here, maybe what we see behind the scenes, what's starting to control Saul? You see more and more sin. His sin is actually starting to control him. It's amazing, and that's what happens with us. But I think what's happening with Saul, like, why did he lose it so much? What was going on in his head is I think it had a lot to do with his identity. Identity makes you do, your identity, who you think you are, even if you're wrong about what you are, if whatever you think you are drives you, doesn't it? Like, if I'm going, you know what, if you ask me, like, what are you? Not like, who are you, but what are you? Like, what's your identity? And I said, I'm a football player. Would that not, if I really thought that's what I am, would it not make me do things different? What would I be doing all the time? Football, practicing, watch, you know, whatever, learning it. Because I go, and I can't lose that identity. I need to become better at it. Like, if that's what I just thought I was. If you ask Saul, what are you? I bet you we could guess what he would say. What? King. I'm a king. I am the king. And what was beginning to be stripped away from him? Being king. His identity. So in his mind, his very identity was being stripped away. If my life was all about football and I had my legs broken and I could never play football again, how do you think I would handle that? Not well, right? Because your identity really makes something about what you, it just tells you what you do and what you live about and everything else. Like, how you live really is based on what you think you are. So if we're right about what we are, that's great, but what if we're wrong? Because you know what, honestly, some of us might even think, well, that is what Saul was. He was a king. That's not how God wanted him to be defined. God would have much rather him say, I'm a servant of Theos, who happens to be a king. Does that make sense? Whole different attitude with your identity. The question today, you guys, this morning is, what do you think you are? What's your identity? If you have a piece of paper, and you can even start writing it down, and you could be more than one thing, but if you started writing down on a piece of paper the things that you are, like I am a, and just finish it, fill in the blank. I am a what? Like some of you might say, I'm a student. I'm an eighth grader. I'm a guy. I'm a girl. Or whatever. I would say like, and if you're doing, maybe you are somebody. Maybe you're like a football player. Maybe you're going, I'm a soccer player. I'm a volleyball player. What are the things you go, you know, if you're playing video games all the time or whatever, yeah, I'm a gamer or whatever. What are you? What are you? I'm a skater, whatever. What are you? Would you just write down some of the things you go, this is what I know I am. I would write down probably something like this. I'm a pastor because that's what I do. A lot of times what we end up doing is what we go, that's what I am. So I'm a pastor. I'm an American because I live in America, right? It's kind of where I, kind of based on where I live. It's like my nationality. Let's see. It's my citizenship. I'm a husband. I'm not a father. Don't have any kids. But if I did have kids, well, I probably would say that, right? That'd probably be part of my identity. So I'm just giving you a couple examples for me. What's you? Just write them down. What are you? So just write it down. I'm a what? So the reason why I'm having you do that, guys, is because your identity would drive you into whatever you're going to do. And what I find it really interesting is Samuel, Selah, even had a hard time with identity. Not just King Saul, but Selah even had a hard time really knowing how to tell somebody what they were. Because most of the time, what we do is we make somebody's identity connected with actually what they actually do. Like, if I do this a lot, that must mean that I am this. We actually make identity connected with how somebody looks. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we identify with things and we identify with them because of something that we look like. Like we'll wear a hat or we'll wear a shirt or I'll wear certain shoes in order to identify with a certain thing or a certain lifestyle or something like that. We'll look at other people and just simply by how they look, we'll make a determination about what they are, won't we? If they're dressed a certain way, or they have a certain thing, we go, oh, you must be a, and you fill in the blank, just by how they look. The same is true. That's not just today, you guys. That's the same thing that's true thousands of years ago, even with Samuel. I want you to look at, well, actually, you know, we're going to go to a bunch of passages, a bunch of places in the Bible. So if you're not really quick at getting to the places, you might get frustrated. This is the only time probably we're going to do this. If you want to go to just one place, we're going to end up there. It's going to be Romans chapter 6. That's where we're going to end up. But I'm going to go through a lot of other passages. What I would suggest is that you write them down as I give them to you so you can read them later. You could try to get there, but if you're like me, this is what frustrates me sometimes. I'm looking in my Bible for like the place that the pastor or whatever says to go to, and by the time I find it, he's done talking. And I'm like, oh, I missed it, you know, because I'm just looking for it. So, but I want you to find it. I want you to know it, but I also want you to hear what we're saying today. So write them down. If you want to go to a certain place, it's going to be Romans chapter 6. We'll spend most of the time there, but here we go. We'll start out with 1 Samuel, and in chapter 10, I want you to listen to this. In chapter 10 of 1 Samuel is actually when Saul is crowned king. And it says that when Samuel was there to find Saul, they got it narrowed down to the person that God wanted, and everybody looked around and said, well, where is he? Where's this Saul guy that it says we're supposed to crown king? And Saul was actually hiding at that time. He was hiding. He was like scared about becoming king. So they found him. God says, oh, he's hiding behind the supplies over there, and they bring him out, and they crown him king. But listen to what it says. It says they ran and brought him out, and this is from verse 27, or 23. So 1 Samuel 10:23, it says, they ran and brought him out, and as Saul stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. So when Saul stood in front of everybody else, he was pretty tall. He literally was head and shoulders above everybody else. Isn't that interesting? Why in the world are they writing down how tall he is? That's kind of weird. But listen to what it says right after that. In verse 24, it says, Samuel said to all the people, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people. Samuel said, there's nobody like Saul. Do you think he was talking about his character? No. Do you think he was talking about his intelligence? What was he talking about? His height. They bring out Saul, and it's like, he looks like he could be a king. You would think a king would be like taller than everybody else. It kind of shows a little bit more power and that he's above everybody else. Boy, this is exactly, do you see the guy that God has chosen? Samuel's even falling for it. There's nobody like this guy because he's taller. That's what the identity was. He looked like he could be a king. And that's what we do, you guys. We look at people and we go, what do they look like they are? And we make it determine that must be what they are. Because that's what they look like they are. That's how they're dressed. That's how they act. It's what they do. All those things are outward. Listen to this. In chapter 15 or 16, it's when David is crowned king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Samuel goes to Jesse's house. This is the father of David. And there was 8 boys. And they had 7 of them there. And all these people go in front of Samuel, and Samuel goes, God, is this the one? And God says, no, 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 no. And then finally Samuel says, is there anybody else? But before he does that, listen to this. It says, when all the guys got there, except for David, it says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. It's in verse 6 of chapter 16. Eliab was the oldest son. And he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Samuel looked at Eliab. He was the oldest. He looked like he could be a king. And Samuel thought, this has got to be the guy. But the Lord said to Samuel in verse 7, do not consider his appearance or his height. What do you think he was talking about there? His appearance or his height? Do you think he was talking about Eliab? He was talking about who? Saul. He says, because I have rejected him. It's not about how tall a person is, Samuel. It's not about how they look. He says, the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Everybody looks at outward stuff, what we do, how we act, what our lifestyle is. God does not look at people that way. God looks at our hearts. And he says, you know what? That guy doesn't have the heart. And then finally, David comes in, and David has the heart that God wanted. The same thing is true today, you guys. Our identity is not based, get this, our identity, who we are, is not based on what we do. Our identity is not based on what our lifestyle is. What we live for isn't even our identity. Our identity is not what our culture, and you guys, this is something true, what our culture is molding us to be like, and our culture is trying to mold us to look like something. That's not our identity. Our identity is not what we, like maybe what you are putting out there trying to get people to be convinced of what you are, like in social media, in Instagram, or whatever else, that you're trying to get people to think you are. That's not your identity. Your identity might not even be what you think you are. Your identity is not what you feel like you are. Then what's my identity? Get this, you guys, every single one of us, our identity, what we are, is what God says we are. It's what God sees in our heart and says we are. That's our identity. And last night, man, this is incredible. Last night, how many of you last night, I know a lot of you stayed in here for maybe even different reasons, but how many of you last night, when you stayed back here, last night was the first time that you honestly gave your life over to Jesus? Last night, look at that, you guys, give him a hand again. When last night you went, okay, I'm gonna trust you with my life instead. I'm gonna tell you guys this, and for all of us that have decided to hand your life over to Jesus at some time in the past, I'm telling you the truth. Your identity was changed. You didn't dress any different. You might not be doing anything different. You don't feel any way different. Some of you maybe do feel different. But it's not based on any of that stuff. It's based on what God did. It's based on what God says you are. And some of you last night, your identities changed. Last night, when we started chapel, you were slaves of sin. That's what some people were in this room. And last night, by the end of chapel, some of you went from being slaves of sin to being slaves of who? Slaves of God. Some of you went from enemies of God to being children of God. That's an identity change. That's what you are. It says in the Bible, you guys, that everybody who comes to Jesus, God does not just forgive you. God actually changes you. I think some people don't understand that. They go, oh, good, I'm forgiven now. Oh, good, my sins won't be held against me. That's true. But even way more than that happened, you guys. You were changed. Do you ever heard the term born again? Why do we use that term? Do you know why? Because it's actually true. You really are born all over again. Some of you are one day old. Some of you are one day old. With a completely new life. That's what you are. You're a whole new person with a whole new heart. It says that God, when you decide to follow Jesus, he actually takes the heart that you used to have, takes it out of you, and puts inside of you a brand new heart. If he gives you a new heart and your identity is based on your heart, then your identity has changed. You have a new one. You're not what you used to be. You're what God says you are. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to turn there. Write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. And just write down verses 9 through 11. Let me read it to you. This is Paul talking to these people in Corinth who really didn't understand that they were changed. He says, don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? If you're the same person that you've always used to be, then you won't inherit the kingdom of God. There has to be a change. He says, don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with other men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. All those things, you guys, are different lifestyles, right? Those are different ways that people live. He goes, you got to understand, if you really are that same lifestyle that you used to be, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. What I love is the next sentence. Listen to this. He goes, but you aren't that person anymore. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came into your life, some of you for the first time last night, and he changed you. And Jesus Christ came into your life, some of you for the first time last night, and he changed you. You are not what you used to be. What he's trying to say to these people in Corinth is some of these people who had that lifestyle, they accepted Christ, and then they still struggle with that lifestyle. They still went, well, I'm still kind of living this way. And Paul was saying, you know what? Your identity isn't based on how you live anymore. If that's truly what you are, then you're lost. But that's not what you are anymore. You have been washed. You've been justified. You've been cleaned. Everything in you has been changed. How did that happen? That's where I want you to go to Romans chapter 6. Are you guys there? Romans chapter 6. I'm just going to pick it up in verse 6. It's awesome, you guys. This is what happened to some of you for the first time last night. He says, for we know, in verse 6, for we know that the old self was crucified with him. It even says right there, we know that our old self was crucified with him. That old you is what? Dead. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That person that was a slave of sin doesn't exist anymore. He says that we should no longer be slaves of sin. He even says in verse 7, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Look at verse 8. Let me just keep reading. Then I'll just kind of, can I give you a picture of it? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Guys, when we talk about death, burial, and resurrection, we always think about Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection, which is true. Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the dead, right? Do you know the same thing happened to you? You died, you were buried, and you rose from the dead. It all happened in the moment that you handed Jesus your life. Jesus did not just clean you up. Jesus didn't just make a better you. Jesus didn't go, okay, this is how you are. We can work with that. I will now kind of, you know, work with that. There's some good stuff for you. Look, Jesus looked at us when we were slaves of sin and he goes, you know what? Let's just start all over. Let's just wipe this clean and I'll make a whole completely new you. That's what Jesus did. Jesus loved us so much. This is crazy. He loved us so much that when we come to him, he kills us. I know, that's crazy, huh? He killed the old you, buried the old you, and raised you up in order to live a new life is what it says there. And it says, just like Jesus only died, how many times did Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead? How many times? Once. He goes, just like Jesus, that happened to you once, it's only happening to you once. It's not like, hey, I'm not a slave of sin anymore. Now I'm a slave of God. And the next time I sin, I go, oh, no, now I'm a slave of sin again. I sure hope that I could die again and then be a new person again. That's not what happens. Remember, my identity isn't based on what I do. I can act like the old person as much as I want to, but it won't mean that I'm that person anymore. I'm just acting like that person that I'm not. I'm having a moment of insanity. But it doesn't mean that I change into that. What I do doesn't make me what I am. Did you get that? What I do does not make me what I am. I am what God says I am. Do you remember? I'm what God made me. Let me give you an example of how much identity changes everything. Let's say that I used to be a dog. Let's just pretend like I used to be a dog and somebody came with a magic wand or whatever and changed me into a person. Now, I used to be a dog for a long time. And now I'm a human being. And they go, hey, now you're a human being. Go have fun. And I think to myself, you know what? I don't think that I've been changed. I think I'm still a dog. I think they're wrong. So what will I begin to do because I still think I'm a dog? I'm going to get on all fours, bark, look for a fire hydrant, I don't know, chase mailmen, whatever. I'm going to eat dog food, whatever. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if I do that, if I get on all fours right now and start barking, am I a dog? I am? No. If I get on all fours and I start barking, am I acting like a dog? Yes. Am I a dog? Because I act like a dog. No. If you think that that's the problem, if you think that you are what you act like, that's not true. It's not. You can act like something right now, you're not. You might look like it and you might act like it, but it doesn't mean that's what you are. But you know what I do look like? I look like an idiot. Because it's like somebody would come up and say, what are you doing? You're acting like a dog. You're not a dog. Come on, stand up. That's what some of us do. We still think. If we still think we're the same person we always were, I'm telling you, we will always fail. If I still think that I'm a slave of sin, that's just forgiven. What do you think I'm going to still act like? Tell me. A slave of sin. The first step and for me to live a new life is to start believing what God has made me, to start believing what God has made you. And for us to go, you know what? I used to be a slave of sin. I might still act like it sometimes, but that's just me being dumb. That's just me falling for this whole old lifestyle. But that's not what I am anymore. That lifestyle is gone. I am now a slave of God. I'm now a slave of Him. That's why it says there in verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Will you just accept your new identity? That's the first step. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter. It says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance, that you accepted the teachings of Jesus. You accepted what God said to come to Him and have a new life in Him. It says you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Look at verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Now that you realize what you are, eventually your life will begin to start acting like what you are. But that's the first step. You got to believe what you are. What do you think you are? Some of us still think we're slaves of sin. And that's the problem. What if you started believing what God's word says? 1 John 3:1, write this down. 1 John 3:1 says this, oh, the depths of the love of God, that He would call us children of God. And you know what the last part of that verse says? It says, and that's what you are. You're a child of God. You're in His family. He's your father. He will never unadopt you. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to change that identity. That's what you are. Jesus says to His disciples, you guys are lights in the world. You're a light of the world. You're a light in a dark world. You go, I don't act like a light sometimes. PJ, if you just walk, okay, that's fine. You don't act that way. That doesn't mean you aren't that. He even goes on and says, since you are a light, don't hide your light. So so start acting like what you are, but accept what you are first. And above all else, you guys, you're a slave of righteousness. You're a child of God. You're a slave of God. You are a light in this world. You are accepted by God. You're in God's family. That's what you are. Those things that you wrote down, you guys, about what you are. I don't know what you wrote, but let's just say somebody wrote down, I'm an eighth grader. What if you backed up and said, no, that's not what I am. What I am is I'm a child of God who happens to be in eighth grade. What if some of you wrote down, like, I'm a volleyball player? What if you don't think yourself as a volleyball player? You say, I am a child of God who happens to play volleyball. If only Saul would have said, you know what? I'm not a king. I'm a slave of righteousness. I'm a servant of God who happens to be a king. Can you imagine the change? It's going to change how you are. See, because some of us would say, hey, what should I do right now? Well, what would a football player do right now? What would the other football players do in the locker room right now? What would the other football players do after practice today, after the game today? I don't know. But if you ask yourself, what would a child of God do right now? What would an actual child of God, what would a light in this world do right now? How would a slave of God act right now? It changes everything. Write some of those things down and start memorizing that. That's what I am. And I'm going to start remembering that. And when we fail, we're going to talk about tonight. When we start acting not like what we are, what do we do with that? We'll talk about that tonight. But just for today, would you start believing what you really are? And it's a lot deeper than anything that we do, any way that we look, anything that the culture says we are, even things that we feel like we are. It even goes beyond our lifestyle. Will you start believing what God says you are? And you guys have been changed. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you again for this morning. I pray that we wouldn't be like Saul, start getting our identity in things that we do or a lifestyle that we live. But God, we would strip that away and just say, God, what have you made me to be? God, that we would even look at other people and not look at the outward appearance, but we would look at people's hearts. We would go, hold it. What's the heart? God, we just want to remember that you don't look at people the way that the world looks at people. You don't even look at us the way we look at us. But God, you look at our hearts. And for those of us who have followed you, you gave us a new one. God, that we would start understanding who we are now so that we can start living like it tomorrow and just learn more and more how to be who we really are. Thanks again for changing us. I can't believe you did it, but I know you did. God, thank you for changing us because of what your son did on the cross, and it's his name that we pray, who lives inside of us, who continues to change us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.